Dear students, welcome to Chapter 3, everyone's favorite subject to hate, taxes. Taxes in your financial plan. Well, we start with a few quotes from famous dead people. In this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Benjamin Franklin, statesman, inventor, and author. Yeah, good old Ben was pretty sharp, folks, and more probably than anybody else, he was responsible for the colonies breaking away from the United Kingdom. And why is that? Because he, almost single-handedly, was able to get the French, the other superpower at the time, in on the side of the colonies. Yeah, very smart guy, Ben was. Taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. This was Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., a Civil War veteran and one of the longest-serving Supreme Court judges. We want to live in a civilized society? We got to pay for the services that keep it civil. Because even though you believe that you brought yourself up by your bootstraps, everything you've done, you've earned, the answer is no, it is not that way. You did not build the roads. You did not create the hospitals and the schools and the banking system and all the other, the water service and the sewers. We're all in this together. And we got to pay for it. So taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. And then our last quote. Only the little people pay taxes. Leona Helmsley, a hotel owner, a fashion designer, and a convicted tax felon. Right. Dear students, somewhere along the line, some crackpot in a Walmart shopping, Walmart parking lot, or on the internet somewhere, is going to be jumping up and down, screaming and hollering, and telling you that taxes are unconstitutional. Taxes are voluntary. Just follow our three-step program, and you'll never pay taxes again. Little civics lesson, dear students. Who writes the laws in this great land of ours? Right, the legislature, the representatives of the people. At the federal level, that's the House of Representatives and the Senators. State level, we have our two houses, the State Senate and the State House, the Assembly it's called. And then the city councils and boards of governors of the counties. They write the laws. Who executes the laws? That's the executive branch, the president, and all the many different organizations below the president's office at the federal level, the governor at the state level, the mayor, and the town council. Sometimes it's called city council. Not without a, it used to be manager, the city manager, the city manager. Right, that's the executive. We don't have that in San Diego anymore. San Diego used to be a city manager, now has a mayor, and. Our third branch, right, they're responsible for, the executive branch is responsible for executing the laws, for putting the laws into place, making sure that they're executed. But who is responsible for adjudicating, for interpreting the laws? The judicial branch, obviously, the judicial branch, the judges. That their job is to say, hey, look, this is what this actually means. And it's not an easy job, obviously. We're still bickering over things that were created over 200 years ago. But every single judiciary opinion has come down on the side of, yes, taxes are constitutional. You must pay your taxes. So please don't be like Ms. Helmsley and say that taxes are only for the little people. Oh, by the way, there's a fourth estate, as it's sometimes called, and that's the press. They're not in the Constitution, but their job is to, you know, keep us all informed and all honest. And of course, they are the enemy of the people, a phrase that Stalin used to use. Let's see. Okay, slide number two. Taxes and financial planning. About one-third of each dollar you earn once you've joined the middle class and have plugged into the benevolent machine goes to pay taxes. And so that means for the first 4 months of the year, January, February, March, April, you're working for the government. So May Day, International Workers' Day, used to be, now it's Tax Freedom Day. Well, for many people, it's before then. It's sometimes in April. It depends on your marginal tax bracket, which we will discuss in detail in our discussions about taxes. Understanding the tax rules and regulations can help you reduce your tax liability. To cope with the many types of taxes, you should know the current tax laws as they affect you to the best of your abilities. It's impossible to know the entire tax code. Nobody can. Make purchase and investment decisions that reduce your tax liability, but be careful, dear students. Not all tax advantage investments are good values, especially for the little guy and gal like you and me. Example, muni bonds, municipal bonds, which we'll deal with later on. They're great for very wealthy people. And maintain complete tax records. Now, here's something that, yes, we should do. And if you're still looking for something, a non-financial goal from Chapter 1, here's one of them. Organize your tax records. Exactly. Get that accordion file out or whatever and organize those tax records. Slide number 3. There are 4 different types of taxes. The first is sales tax and other types of excise tax and environmental taxes. You pay these when you make a purchase. And currently, 8%, 9% in National City, and different, it varies from county, but around 8% in California. Taxes on property, if you own real estate. I never understood that term, real estate. What does it mean? Anything that is real is attached to the ground. That's where that comes from. If you own property, you pay property taxes. And some items we pay a personal property tax, such as our vehicles, the vehicle license fee that we pay through the Department of Motor Vehicles. Taxes on wealth. Now, for the most part, the vast majority of us, over 99%, will never be affected by our federal estate tax, our gift taxes. You have to be making now or have over $11 million, $22 million something. We'll see when we get till the very end of the semester to be affected by this. And then there's ways to get around that if you do any kind of tax planning. And some states, not California, have an inheritance tax. Now, but this is the way in biblical days that many people were taxed. The tax man would come around every year and look at all your wealth and take one-tenth of it. You ever hear the word tithing? Right. And so the tax collectors were some of the most hated individuals of the time, and that's what got Jesus of Nazareth in such trouble. He actually treated them well. And he fraternized and treated well the two most hated groups 2,000 years ago, tax collectors and women. And if you didn't come up with the 10%, they tied you to a pole and whipped you. And so, you know, don't be too hard on the IRS. You know, things have come a long way since then. Interestingly enough, there is a movement now, because of what we'll see later on, how the taxes have been just dropped exponentially on the rich, to reinstate a wealth tax. But again, for very wealthy people who have millions of dollars, institute a yearly wealth tax, and we'll see how far that goes. And then the last one, the one that we're going to spend the most time on because it's the one that affects us the most, taxes on earning, income tax. And the one where people will jump up and down and scream that you don't have to pay that. Don't believe them. Now, on slide number 4, we find that there's a fifth type of tax, and we put it in quotes because it's really not a tax. Social Security and Medicare are contributions to a retirement plan and a health plan, but for personal financial planning, it makes sense for us to think of them as taxes. In fact, they are often called payroll taxes. But you're paying into a system, and we're not going to discuss the merits or demerits thereof of these two systems. They've been, for the most part, nothing's perfect, folks, but they've been actually very successful. There are problems with both, mostly Medicare, not because of Medicare's fault, but just because healthcare is eating us alive. So it's about 8%, a little less, 7.65%, but we're going to just use 8% to make life easier. And if you're self-employed, you have to pay almost twice this much. Why? Because I know you don't like your boss, probably with good reason, but every dollar that you pay to Social Security and Medicare, your boss matches that dollar. So if you're self-employed, you're your own boss, and you have to pay that extra amount. Now, that amount that the boss pays or you pay if you're self-employed, is tax deductible. So it's not quite twice, but you get the idea, right? So these are the taxes we're going to concern ourselves with for the most part, the income tax and the payroll taxes, Social Security, Medicare. And so on slide number 5, we ask the question, how much does it really cost? What are the effects of taxes? Well, you walk into Best Buy, and you just have to have that $299 stereo or whatever it is, a handheld device or whatever. It's $299, and you give the clerk $299, and you walk, wait a minute, you still have to pay sales tax, right? So let's say we pay 8% sales tax. So that means our out-of-pocket expense is $322.92, and maybe you have to pay an environmental fee, too, so that might add a little bit, too. But let's keep it easy. $322.92. So that's how much it really costs us, right, dears? No, actually, no. Well, it depends. If somebody gave us that money, yeah, that's how much it costs us. But if we had to earn that money before we were able to buy that device, we had to pay federal and state income taxes, depending on our marginal tax rate. And I know you're going to do your best to forget what the marginal tax rate is because you're not interested in it, and it's kind of a nebulous subject, but it's not. It's very important. And the problem with it is that it changes depending on how much money you make. When you have entered the middle class, whatever that is, once your income has risen to the level where you're considered middle class, there's a great probability that you're in the 22% tax bracket. Now, for many years it was 28%. Before that, for many years it was 25%. Before that, it was 28%. But the recent tax cuts have dropped it to 22%. So that means you had to make an additional $112.14 to pay Uncle Sam. And then you also had to earn an additional $35.68 to pay Uncle Cal. So you have two partners in this, Uncle Sam and Uncle Cal, and they both have their hands in your pockets. Now, the marginal tax rate at the California level is not 7%. It doesn't match the 22%. There's 4, 6, 8, so we'll just use 7 just to make life easier. But the brackets don't match, so the rates are different depending on who you are. Again, it's one of the things that makes marginal tax rates difficult for people because they change from person to person. But you had to earn an additional $147.82. Now, did you write a check to the feds, to the state of California? No, they took it out of your paycheck. And you know this, right? If you've had a job and you get your paycheck, you have seen that they have withheld taxes. So far, it's cost us $470.74, but don't forget the Social Security and Medicare, which 7.695%, which is about $39. So we had to pay into the Social Security Medicare system an extra $39. So that stereo cost us $509.74. Did you think about that when you just had to have that device? Will you think about it now? I hope so. And so here's the calculation on slide number 6. You take your out-of-pocket expense and divide that by 1 minus your marginal tax rate. And again, your marginal tax rate, which we will delve into in depth in our next presentation, depends on who you are and how much money you make. So if you're in the 22% tax bracket in the feds, the 7% California, which doesn't exist, but let's use it for this example, and then 7.65% for the Social Security Medicare, if you do this calculation, add those three up, those three tax rates, first before you then subtract 1 minus them, because the 1 represents 100%, right? If we, in other words, you math fans, if we didn't pay any taxes, 0 plus 0 plus 0, it would be $322.92, the out-of-pocket expense, divided by 1, and you divide anything by 1, you get the same number. Okay? You thought I was exaggerating, didn't you? And as your marginal tax rates go up, you're going to find so does your actual expense. And this is why people who are making a lot of money complain bitterly about taxes, because all of a sudden they're realizing that, hey, I'm paying a lot of my dollar, every one of my dollars, a lot of it's going to the government. Now, is there anything you can do about this, dear students? I mean, really, what can you do? You can, work under the table, right? That's not legal. And your employer is certainly can get in a hell of a lot more trouble than you can. You could maybe go off on a deserted island and have your own country, your own system of economics, but then you got to feed, clothe, and shelter yourself and eat the bit of food that you found that you think is not poisonous and protect yourself somehow. And then, oh my goodness, what if you need that medicine that you don't know how to create? You see, taxes are the the reason, the privilege of living in a civilized society. And you hear people complain bitterly about taxes, and yet they're the first person to scream and holler when something goes wrong. Why isn't the government doing something about this? Because it costs money. Or they put their hand over their hearts, or they salute when that aircraft carrier goes floating by. Do you realize how much it costs to keep that thing just floating at the dock, let alone taking it to the Persian Gulf? Right, exactly. Yes, taxes. We live in a civilized society. Death and taxes. We pay our taxes. And so go ahead and grumble, but realize that taxes are also what how Southwestern is offering you this class. Think about it. Slide number 7. Filing your federal income tax. Who must file? Well, for 2018, if you're single and you've made $12,000, or if you're married, $24,000, and there's a couple other categories that we'll take a look at, you must file your taxes. But in reality, folks, if you have any earned income, you paid any kind of taxes, you should file. Because if you don't file and you should get a refund, or if you are eligible for the earned income credit, is the IRS going to call you up and say, hey, Fred, we see that we've got a couple $100 here that was withheld, but you didn't file your taxes. You know, if you want that couple $100, you're going to have, no, they're not going to do that, folks. And then I think it's after 3 years, sorry, if you don't claim it within 3 years, it's theirs. So file your taxes. And if you haven't already heard, we at Southwestern sponsor the South Bay, South Bay Community Services, right, South Bay Community Services, which has a grant with the IRS to do the volunteer income tax assistance, which is a phenomenal program, folks. Not only do you get your taxes done for free, you can also get training, get college credit, Business 290, and volunteer and be one of the volunteers. And it's a load of fun. I did it 1 year, and I just had such a great time. So check it out. Check it out. Watch for the flyers, and you'll see that you can, you too can get involved, either just getting your taxes done for free or getting involved and learning how to do taxes and possibly, you know, getting college credit and possibly becoming a career. Who knows? So file your taxes. Slide number 8, what tax records to keep? Oh, the tax forms, the booklets, your Social Security numbers, previous year's returns, the 1040 forms, the 1099s, money you received, the 1098s, interest you paid, receipts, documentations, investment, business expense documents. Keep everything, in my humble opinion. And slide number 9, how long should you keep these tax records? Well, you ask people and they'll say 3 years, 7 years, 10 years, 4 years. Well, this is what the IRS says. The IRS says you should keep your records 3 years from the date the return was due or filed, or 2 years from the date the tax was paid, whichever is longer. So in other words, that means 3 years for most people. Okay? But if you did not pay your taxes for a few years, then you should hang on to them for 2 years after you've paid your taxes. That's not most people. But then the IRS also goes on to say you should keep some records longer. But they don't say which records, and they don't say how long. Thanks a lot, guys and gals. So I says keep them forever. And your boy has a ton of records going back many years. And every year I take a look at all of them, and I get really excited about scanning all those documents using this wonderful scanner I have and then putting them all on a digital device and burning all those records, or maybe shredding them, or and then I go lay down and take a nap because it just I don't know what to do, you know. I just don't know what to do. And meanwhile that paper is disintegrating. But if you ask the librarians, they'll tell you they trust paper far more than any digital device, and they'll tell you why, too, and they have very good reasons. So, good luck. Keep them forever, in my humble opinion. Now, our last slide until we break for the first presentation of Chapter 3 discusses the Republican tax cuts of late 2017. We'll do our best to be as factual as possible and still realize that this was, you know, not as successful as the Republicans thought it was going to be. It introduced many changes to the tax code. But, folks, some changes were very politically divisive and hurt states that are primarily Democratic. If you don't believe me, just... there are plenty of links, there's a few links on the Kyle the Class website that discuss it. There's thousands more that you can just do a simple internet search. They really hit the coasts. They hit the California areas, the California megalopolises, that north Bay Area, the Los Angeles, San Diego, Seattle, Chicago, and then of course Boston down through New York, Philadelphia, and Washington D.C. and Baltimore. The tax cuts go overwhelmingly to the rich. The estimates range from anywhere from 62% to 83% of the tax cuts go to those in the top 1% of our economic ladder. It will increase the federal deficit, although the Republicans claim that it will pay for itself. The estimates initially ranged from $500 billion to $1.7 trillion, but now it appears, again, it depends on who you listen to and who you trust, but it's going to add approximately $4 trillion over the next several years until they disappear in 2025. The corporate tax cuts are permanent, but the individual tax cuts phase out after 8 years in 2025. And by 2027, approximately 53% of individuals will pay more taxes than they did in 2017. And the corporate rates were slashed from 37% to 21%. That was supposed to spur incredible amounts of investment and give wage raises to millions of people, and instead, I think they knew, because this is what corporations do when they get a windfall, they disproportionately gave it to their shareholders. There were a few very high profile bonuses that people got, $1,000, thank you very much, but most of the money went to the shareholders in the form of dividend, special dividends, dividend increases, and buybacks, share repurchases. It pays to be rich. Now, you may think, oh, Piano's really upset about this, and I am. And not because I'm jealous or anything. I'm one of the people who it benefited, because I'm a stockbroker. I'm heavily invested in stocks. Some of my stocks did very well because of this. But I'm upset because we did not need to do it. Our economy was already very strong. You usually use tax cuts to spur an economy, not one that's already at where we have less than 4% unemployment. And it went to the rich, which is great for the very rich. Thank you very much. But history tells us that that doesn't help an economy. If you want to help an economy, you give the tax cuts to the lowest folks, and the middle class. And when I say lowest, I'm not talking about, that they're any different than you or me or anybody else. It's just they're on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale. They're the people who spend the money. They don't just turn around and, invest in some other thing. And investments are good, don't get me wrong, but it's more important, at least history tells us, and economics is not a precise science. There's a reason why it's called the dismal science. But the history tells us when you give the money to the folks in the middle class and the lower classes, that's what really spurs economic growth. So my apologies if the politics are not to your liking, but I'm just trying to report what we see and how it affects us, because I ultimately believe that if we do help the middle class and below, the lower middle classes, and try to somehow introduce less inequality in our system, that it'll eventually help everyone, that even those who are part of the shareholder society, who are very wealthy, will benefit from the fact that these companies will make more money and the like. And it might sound like an advertisement, but I'm a very strong proponent of capitalism. Capitalism might be the very worst economic system ever devised, except for all the others. Anyway, when we come back, we are going to slog through a typical homeowner's tax return. So I want you to get prepared, folks. It would help to have the first tax exercise documents printed out, but I'll tell you about that when we get to the second presentation. But be prepared. Are we going to turn you into a tax preparer? No. That's what the Vita can do to you. But it will show you how a typical homeowner's tax return is done, and you will be amazed at how much you can understand about it, in my humble opinion. Okay, so see you in our next presentation when we go through a typical homeowner's tax return for 2018.